As Tim prepared us for communion, talking about John's emphasis on love, it's recorded in the second century writings. You know, John was the only one that lived for a long time. He up to about 100 years of age. And they tell of bringing him into the church, you know, almost having to carry him in. And they'd say, "Do you have a word for the brethren?" And they'd get him up front, and he'd say, "Love the brethren." And they'd put him back and take him out and bring him back the next week. And they would say, "Do you have a word for the brethren?" And he'd say, "Love the brethren." The third time they said, "Can't you tell us something more?" He said, "When you get that one right, I'll tell you more." So that was John. Titus, we're going to launch off of the first verse of chapter 1 in Titus. I taught from that verse last week and felt like I was to be heading in a new direction, go somewhere else to start a new series. And we've been in Titus for several weeks. And the Lord prompted me that we weren't through. We need to take another look at Titus 1, starting in verse 1. So let's read. Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. As a slave to God, God was his master, his Lord. As an apostle of Jesus, he's one that is sent. That's what the word apostle meant. He was sent for this purpose, to further, or for the sake of, the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of truth, which accords with godliness in the hope of eternal life. Faith, enlarged by full knowledge of truth, leads to godliness. Godliness simply means the way of life, pleasing to the Lord. There's a sequence here. Faith, enlarged by truth, leads to godliness, which is a way of life now and throughout eternity. The spiritual principle which lead to godliness. The spiritual principles which lead to godliness, such as the Good Shepherd. Where is it found? John's Gospel. The vine and the branch. Where is it found? John's Gospel. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Where is it found? John's Gospel. Now these principles, the Good Shepherd, the vine and the branch, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, are familiar to the ear of a student of Scripture, but not always their way of life. We are familiar with what it said about Jesus being the shepherd. We're familiar about the agrarian example of a vine and a branch and something flowing through us, and we're attached to Jesus as the vine. We're familiar with the teaching that Jesus said, "When I leave, the Spirit will come. The Spirit will teach, will guide, and lead." These are the mechanisms by which we can grow in truth and to the way of godliness, which is the way of eternal life. Now, when Jesus said in John 10, "Sheep, hear the shepherd's" what? "Voice." He calls them by name and they follow him. If that were the way of all who claim Christianity, would there not be a major difference in the life around us? Jesus said, "Sheep, hear the shepherd's voice." He calls his own by name and leads them out. Picture for a moment a group of people he's talking with. Think for a moment what would be their response when Jesus formed these words. Would they have said, "Wow, got it. Happens every day. Got no questions. Understand how it works. What else you got to tell me? Or would the response of many of them been, yeah, that sheep and shepherd thing happens with God and certain people, elite people. God spoke to Abraham and he responded. God spoke to Moses and he responded. You know, Elijah, another one of those people God spoke to, and Jeremiah and Isaiah, God speaks, yes, and people hear, but it's only for the chosen few. The promise of Joel was not on the radar that God's saying the time will come when I will speak to all. Men and women, men servant, maid servant, young and old, they shall all do what? Prophesy. Now you can't prophesy, you can't speak for God unless God first speaks to you. Now, in our world, in our form of Christianity, in the days in which we live, what kind of response does the sheep hear the shepherd's voice? He calls them by name and they follow out. Probably one of two. Either it's abused. I gotta, you know, God tells me what shirt to put on every morning, you know, all, you know, to that kind of detail. It's either abused or it's ignored. It's left into that realm that Jesus says it and he said it and I believe it. But if I had to explain to you how it works in my life, I'd have to say I'm not sure. Hearing the voice of the shepherd on the authority of God's word is not for the elite few. Pentecost has occurred. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is the lifeline of the relationship with the shepherd. It can be faked, and many people do. The Lord told me, it's easy to say, just like in Jeremiah, prophets were saying all the time, thus saith the Lord, when God said, I didn't speak to them. When you open yourself up to the realm of a spiritual conversation, you're open to false spirits. And false spirits will interfere. Now how then do we understand for this to work? This is one of the most important dimensions of the path to godliness. Hearing the voice of the shepherd. I offer you a lesson from life. Jesus would always try to find a lesson from life to illustrate a spiritual point. When someone speaks, the pitch, inflection, the way they enunciate their words, the pace their words come, especially in this daggum generation, they talk so fast I can't hear anybody. All of these combined in a way that makes a unique, identifiable signature to the voice we hear. Now, if someone you know and love, the sound of their voice, the very sound of their voice, is more than sound waves touching your eardrums. The sound of their voice, before their words are even formed, the sound of their voice elicits something inside of us. It touches something inside of us. The voice of someone we know causes us to immediately think of a swirl of memories. Images of them fill our mind. Excitement, anticipation starts to build. Because the sound of the voice of someone we love means that we're going to have opportunity to move into a special moment. Now, the sound of someone's voice creates an opening, not in our ears, more than our ears. Not a readiness of our mind to interpret words, but it creates a stirring in our heart. in our soul and in our spirit. The sound of some people's voice causes us to raise a wall of protection. Life teaches us then that communication is more than sound waves bouncing off the ear, interpreted by the brain. What we sense and feel at the core of our being is how we truly hear someone. Now hang on to that. What I sense and feel at the core of my being is how I truly hear someone. We have an expression, "So nice to hear your voice." So nice to hear your voice. Regardless of what you're about to say, you matter to me. And the sound of you touches my heart. What's going on with you matters to me. It's not just my ears that are open to you. My heart is open to you. The depth of my soul is open to you. My spirit is coming alive just at the sound of your voice. Communication with those you love is not a data download interpreted by the brain. It's worlds apart from that. With those you admire, you love, those who've helped you meet the challenges of life, people you've laughed and cried with and shared your deepest feelings with and benefited from their wisdom and care, the sound of their voice triggers your entire being. It's a gateway to a spiritual experience. When you talk with someone that you love, it's just not data transferred from my mouth to your ear, to your brain, and back to your mouth, and back to my ear, and to the brain. When you talk with someone you love, it is a spiritual experience. Your heart, your soul, your spirit participates. With those you love, it's a spiritual experience bigger than life. When the phone rings and Mama hears, it's Caroline. Now, it's not just her ears that awaken. She doesn't have to say, "Well, what's your social security number? Now, what's the name of your dog? Where do you live? Now, let me check my caller ID and make sure it's Caroline." At the sound of her voice, she knows who she's talking to. Memories, hopes and dreams, excitement. Everything feels the moment. It doesn't matter. She hadn't said anything, but it's Caroline. That's the experience that happens with those you love. Now, in regard to God, does His voice, His presence around you, have an undeniable, unique signature? Does what we experience in God trigger something inside of us? When we sense the presence of God, when we sense God moving close to us, does it trigger peace, love, and joy? Does something spiritually happen within us? Does our spirit bear witness with His spirit? When God moves toward us in this way, does it register something with us? God's presence, God's approach to us, we know by the identifiers of peace, love, and joy. At the moment of salvation, we experience peace, the peace of forgiveness. We experience love in His acceptance of us. We experience joy in that moment with our Creator and Lord that transcends life. Subsequently, after salvation, when we experience the peace, love, and joy of God, there have been continuing experiences with God. God has met us as the God of comfort in our need. He's been the one that's calmed the storm, providing light at the end of the tunnel. He's been the one that helped us find our path forward, being faithful, always there. He has met with us when by faith we open the scriptures as His word pushes back the darkness and carries us to life. His very presence, the mere presence of Him touching our life, drives away fears, inspires hope and certainty as He holds us in love. And He holds us in love when words are insufficient. We all know the experience. When an embrace is all that can communicate what's being felt. For some, contact with God is seldom. He's not their go-to in the time of need. They don't meet Him in Scripture. Therefore, the voice of the world is what they hear best. Paul and Silas were beaten and jailed and put in jail in Philippi. God met them there. When He met with them that night, He did not bring a dissertation of words explaining why bad things happen to good people. He came into their midst and He sat with them. His presence spoke louder than words. He brought peace, assurance of love, and the certainty of Him being the one that held their blessed future. God's presence was louder than words. God's presence communicated words beyond expression and provoked worship. When we sense God's presence, it should be like the sound of someone's voice. It should trigger all kinds of things within us. Memories of past experiences with God. Love, joy, and peace should begin to fill our lives. Scripture verses should immediately start to spin around us, because we're not sure which one of those God might trigger as a message to us. All that we've known of God and all that we've enjoyed of God fills the moment. We are awakened to listen. To listen, not with our ears, but with our heart and with our spirit. And in those moments, in those times, when God's presence begins to move with us, and the sense of His presence is like hearing the sound of someone's voice, lots of things are being transpired there in the moment. Thoughts can start forming. We are pressed to receive them and to discern from where they come. Scripture says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Why did he not dismiss it as just a random thought? How did he know it was a word from God and not a false spirit? How did he know that it wasn't a word of his own making? Because the word that came to Jeremiah was wrapped spiritually. Before the word was formed, he was wrapped spiritually in the presence of God. It awakened his inner being. And before the words formed to be considered, there was a fire that burned. There was a hammer that struck. The ground around him became holy. The voice that came to him was familiar as it came to him wrapped in the peace, love, and joy of God. Sheep, Jesus said, they hear the voice of the shepherd, the one who feeds and cares for them. I know this principle firsthand as a herdsman. I step in the field and I call, and my cows raise their heads. The second call, they turn. And on the third call, they start moving toward me. They know my voice. You can try it. And wear your voice out. They come to me because I feed them and I care for them. For all of this to work, for you to be able to hear, be able to receive, and not be deceived by false spirits, to hear the word of the Lord, you got to know the one who cares for you and feeds you. There must be a desire to listen. There must be a readiness to listen. I've had several cattle dogs. My last one's name was Seda. If I was in the house, I could bet you $100 bill where Seda would be. She'd be laying in the yard right outside the door of the garage because she knew that's the way I go in and out, and I wasn't going to get by her without her seeing me. When I would step out, she had a good nose. If I had on my Sunday go to meeting clothes, she could smell and she'd just lay back down. But if I had on my barn clothes, immediately she'd raise her head. Her ears would stand at attention. Her eyes would sparkle. I could see her body pulsating on the words she wanted to hear. Come on, Seda. We got something to do. She's up. She's spinning around me, ready to jump in the truck or go down the driveway. She didn't ask, how long is this going to take? Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be hard? Now, what about supper? Am I going to miss supper? No. Seda would run off a cliff with me. Now, Seda was always listening and always ready. Now, she wanted to hear her name called. And when I said Seda, is the most blessed words in all of her life. Jesus said the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And he doesn't send out a group text. He calls you by name. Now we can recognize that voice because we've heard it before. We've been confronted with it in Scripture. We've been inspired by it by through Scripture. When it comes wrapped spiritually in the love, joy, and peace of God. Our spirit knows the voice before our brain knows it. Everything at our inner core starts coming alive while we're trying to catch up. In life, conversation begins with words. Those words with those we love will awaken more than our ears. They will stir something at the core of our being, and our openness will not be just with our ears, but with the totality of our being. It will lead us to a spiritual moment. In God, it's that same principle of the kingdom. The first is last, and last is first. God starts with a spiritual experience. He touches us with His presence. His presence moves us. His presence, we know. We've experienced it before. He touches us with His presence. It is an undeniable spiritual moment with the one that we know, that we've walked with, that has been there for us as our shepherd. Then words, thoughts will come and we'll be asked to evaluate from where they come. God starts the conversation with the spiritual experience. In life, we start the conversation with words and end with a spiritual experience. The shepherd speaks and the sheep come alive. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord can come to us in a vision. It can come to us in a dream. It can come to us when we're riding the tractor. It can come to us when we're sitting on a hillside. It can come to us when we're in whatever closet we choose, in our favorite chair. The word of the Lord comes. Deuteronomy 30 says it this way. The word that comes is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart so that you can do it. One of the most vivid experiences of my hearing the word of the Lord came to me out of my own mouth. Isaiah 30 says you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn from the right to the left. Acts chapter 9, Ananias heard the voice saying, rise and go to the street called Straight, and there you'll find one Saul of Tarsus. And yet in Acts 16, the missionary team was trying to decide where to go next. They tried to go into Asia, but were forbidden by the Spirit. They turned and tried to go to Bithynia, and once again, their way was blocked. They wind up going to Troas. Hearing the word worked in not as clear fashion as it was with Ananias. In Acts chapter 20, and Paul had stopped at Tyre. They knew by the Spirit that if Paul went to Jerusalem, bad things are going to happen, and they begged him not to go. He stopped in Caesarea, and Agabus the prophet came and said, the Spirit says to me, and he took Paul's girdle, that the one who has this girdle, his hands and his feet will be tied. And so we all begged him, Luke says, to not go to Jerusalem, but he was bound in the Spirit. And we said, may the Lord's will be done. The word of the Lord, it comes. Jesus said, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. They hear and they follow. There's a lot more to learn about this path to godliness. But the first thing you got to be able to do is hear the voice of the shepherd. Recognize the voice of the shepherd. We'll need to study how to be taught by the Spirit. How to be empowered by the Spirit. Those for days to come. But I leave you with these conclusions. In life, communication can be just a data exchange between ears and brains. Or communication can be a spiritual event with those you love that touches your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Enlarging into a spiritual moment. Listening to God starts with a spiritual experience that leads to words. It builds upon the peace, love, and joy that we know in God, our experience of God in the Scriptures, all of our life experiences. Fortifies us to be able to stand with Jeremiah. And when the word of the Lord comes, there's a fire that is kindled. There's a hammer that strikes. The ground around us is holy. I've had those moments on a tractor when I wanted to jump off and lay prostrate upon the ground. I've had those moments when I've sought for them. I've had those moments whenever I didn't seek for them, but they came. And when they came, I was engulfed in the spiritual moment, ready not to listen with my ears, but to listen with my heart and the totality of my being. Yes, God has a unique, identifiable signature to His voice. Spend enough time with Him and you'll never be confused. You won't need a frequency analyzer to decide whether it's God talking to you or not. You know. Your spirit will know before you know. The spirit that's in you, bearing witness to your spirit, will know. When He's the one who feeds you, cares for you, when He's your shepherd, you'll know the voice. You'll long to hear the voice. Like Seda, you'll always be listening. You'll always be ready, longing to hear the Master call your name. I want us to close by singing a hymn. It's a hymn I was raised with. I'm an old guy. It's been around a long time. But it expresses the message for today. You can remain seated as we sing. This is not a solo. We'll sing the first verse a cappella and then Teresa will join us. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Stand as we sing the second verse. And the sound of His voice is so sweet, the earth does not seem. And the joy He shares.
as he tarries there, none other has ever.